Hello, everybody. Good to see you. I just want to talk very quickly before we get into a message about perspective. Perspective in our lives is very important, and how we approach the situations in front of us will determine how we will cope in life. And so if we see struggle, and if we're facing an obstacle and all we see is trouble, and all we start saying to ourselves is that nothing is going to change for me, well, guess what's going to happen? Nothing is going to change for you, and your life can become very miserable. And so my challenge to all of us is that when you look at, this is why the scripture in James says that, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Because there is something that is happening when you're going through all those things. And so what that scripture is telling us is that let's have a different perspective whenever we are faced with trials, because we know that it is producing something that is going to benefit us in the future. Perspective is important in your own individual life, but in the life of as a church. So you can look at the empty seats and think, oh my goodness, this place is empty. Well, that is the truth. It is empty. It doesn't have a lot of seats, but when we change our perspective, we look at the empty seat that's either in front of us or beside us, and we recognize that this is the seat for somebody's life. That each chair that you see in front of you that is not currently occupied represents somebody's life. And so now our perspective changes when we go to the Lord to say, Father, we thank you that we are in this place, because we recognize that you are creating space for somebody else to come in and receive the good news so that they can live a life that is free. So perspective in our lives is very important, because now when we pray, we are not like, oh, I go to a church that is always empty or my life is miserable. But it's that, Lord, I thank you that I'm going through this trial because you are doing something. And I recall a time when I was working, I would get the opportunity to act as the chief executive officer. So I was the delegate, I was the number one. When my boss would go away on holiday, I would assume her position. And I remember I would always say, Father, I pray that whatever it is I'm supposed to learn during this 4 weeks, let me learn it. Or 6 weeks when she was away on holiday. I would always ask God to say, whenever I'm in this situation, Lord, let me learn whatever it is I'm supposed to learn. You know why that's important? Because you don't want to keep learning. You don't want to keep being in school all the time. You want to learn and to move on to the next phase of your life. Why do they make the chairs small in grade one? Does anybody have an idea? Why are the chairs small? Yes, their kids are small, but also so that a guy like me doesn't go back into grade one, because I won't fit in there. Which is just, I know it's a funny thing, but I'm saying there comes a time where you don't want to keep learning the same lesson over and over again. So the reason the chairs are small, of course, it's because the kids are small, but also it stops a guy like me to have to go back and sit in grade one, because I won't fit in there. So that's telling us that every year we're supposed to be progressing. And that is why it's important that whenever we face trials, we are saying, God, help me to learn whatever it is I'm supposed to learn, even though it may be painful. That is why that scripture which says, count it all joy, which is a very hard thing to do, because he's saying that those trials, you see, when you're going through a trial, you are experiencing pain, you're experiencing discomfort, but at the same time, it's actually working something within you. It's building your faith up. An example of that would be when Abraham had to sacrifice his son. On the one hand, he is going up the mountain. He's about to sacrifice his son, going through the trial. But guess what was happening on the other hand? That God was making a way, was creating, was the goat was coming up the mountain on the other side, or the sheep, so that he would sacrifice that. So whenever we're going through trials, we have to understand that there's the pain that is happening to us, but at the same time, there is something positive that's actually happening within our lives. Amen? And so last week, we started a series called The Holy Spirit is My Advantage. And this is very important that we understand that the Holy Spirit is not just one of the useless guys of the Godhead, that he is very important in our lives. And it's I cannot stress how important we need to be when we come to engage with the person of the Holy Spirit. If you go to court, he's called the advocate, somebody that fights on your behalf. And so whenever you get the letter to say you are going to court, you've done something wrong, you're going to go in front of a judge, you can either do one of two things. The first thing is you just go and stand in front of the judge and represent yourself, or you can hire a lawyer and say, I have done this thing, could you please represent me and speak to the judge on my behalf? Now, we know that it's good to get a lawyer because the lawyer has actually gone to school and studied maybe 3 or 4 years. In fact, it's a 5-year course now, and you can only do it as a postgraduate law. You can't do it as an undergraduate degree. So you do your first 3 years, and then you probably got another 4 or 5 years to get your law degree. So now I get the advocate, the lawyer, to help me. So I'm in front of the judge. The lawyer doesn't stand behind me. He sits alongside me. And he's the one that I'm not speaking. He's the one speaking on my behalf to the judge because he understands the law. And he's saying, Judge, could you please let Stephen Magwenzi go because of this, 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 and this? And then the judge will make a decision to say, yep, okay, based on what your lawyer has said, I am letting you go. You are free. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. So you can either stand in front by yourself and then you just, good luck, because you don't understand the law. There's going to come a time in your life when you will not know what to do. Therefore, we are all going to need to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us, to advocate on our behalf, because we don't know what to do. And that is why he is very important. This person of the Spirit is very important for us. So last week we heard that the Holy Spirit is my advantage because the Lord said, it is better for you, it is to your advantage that I go, because if I go, then I will send the Helper. And so this morning we are talking about the Holy Spirit, the secret weapon. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit, the secret weapon. You're going to need a secret weapon one day. You're going to need to pull something out of the hat when things are going left in your life. Now, left means not good. When things are not going well in your life, you are going to need a secret weapon. When you're faced with difficulties, you will need somebody. You're going to need that secret weapon, which is the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, it says, once when he was eating with them, this is after Jesus died and rose again and appeared to the disciples on many occasions, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, you can supplant all those words, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and say, in Quinana, at the office, at work, outside, when it's raining, in the building, at the building site, when you are in the hospital, this is where we are going to be his witnesses. Acts, the second chapter, then says, verse 1 to 4, it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, just like this sound you can hear there, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present, not some, everyone present, was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. The key thing we can get from these two scriptures is that they were instructed, do not leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. If we want to see the Holy Spirit in our lives, we have to give him the space. We have to create the atmosphere and invite him to come into our lives. And when we do, then he's going to come and fill us. Amen? Last week we said that in John chapter 14, verse 16, he talked about Jesus says, I will send another helper. And we spoke about two words that represent helper, which represents another. One was the word allos, which is speaking of, I will send somebody of the same sort or kind. And so the Lord is saying, I'm sending the Holy Spirit who is just like me, equal to me. I'm sending him on your behalf. And so he's saying that the Holy Spirit is going to be to you what I've been to you. And so he's talking literally to men and saying, this Holy Spirit, whatever I have been in your life as a physical man, Jesus, this Holy Spirit is going to be that in your life. So if we got guidance from the Lord Jesus, guess what the Holy Spirit is going to be doing to the disciples? He's going to be giving them guidance. Then the good thing, why he says it is to your advantage, is because now that Jesus on earth was restricted by his location. He could only be in one place at one time. He could not be in the same place at the same time. But the Holy Spirit is available with us everywhere. So if I go to the shops, the Holy Spirit is with me. I go to work, I go to school, the Holy Spirit is with me. Now we may not be conscious, but guess what? He is with us. And it is something that we can practice to just the consciousness about the awareness of the presence of to be aware of the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. Now it just takes some time to say, Lord, let me just be more aware of you in my life. It is like there is an awareness of a distinct scent, just like if somebody passes you by and they've got a cologne. Yeah, let's pick a name, Hugo Boss. They're wearing a Hugo Boss. And if your partner wears Hugo Boss and you go into the house, you start to think, oh, they must be around somewhere. Eventually, it's the scent that you smell first, and then eventually the presence of the person, if they're in the house, you will know that they have been present. Or you will know that somebody has been wearing a shirt because the scent of that person, which is the cologne, remains on the article of clothing. And so we need to have that awareness that, wow, I can smell the Hugo Boss that my partner was wearing. They're wearing their shirt yesterday. So that means that I can then become aware of the presence of God in my life, of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and say, Holy Spirit, I just want to become more aware of your presence. You could be in traffic. Let me become more aware of your presence. And that's something that we need to practice, because it's really going to be beneficial for us. Imagine what life would have been like for the disciples to walk with Jesus. Every day, they're experiencing miracles. They're seeing people's lives being changed. They're seeing the 5,000 men and women, including women and children, being fed food from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Imagine being a part of that. Your mind is just going to be blown away of seeing blind people with their eyes being opened. Because it says that in the book of Acts that if the world could not contain all the works that Jesus did, imagine how awestruck you would be. And then all of a sudden that person tells you that I'm leaving. You would become very unsettled. Because now you're saying, oh my goodness, now who's going to be able to do all of this if you're not here? But what Jesus did, he says that I will not leave you alone. I will send you somebody, the comforter, the helper, the advocate, who will be with you. He's the same kind as me. And he'll be to you what I've been to you. And so we have something, this beautiful exchange that takes place where the Lord is leaving and he sends his Holy Spirit. So we are not alone. And it's just like we have Jesus present with us all the time. Wherever we go, we have Jesus present with us. The question I guess we can ask ourselves is that, do we take for granted what we have available? This Holy Spirit that is available to us. It's quite easy to become, to have an I don't care attitude, and we treat the extraordinary as if it's just ordinary. We have this person of the Holy Spirit available to us, and we're just like, we'll see you in church on Sunday. But not experiencing in our daily lives, experiencing his ministry of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. And I want to say, you don't actually have to wait until Sunday to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can do this at home each and every day. Because when we come, we would like a church. The church that we are building is a church where, first of all, when people come, they feel welcome. Wow, it's good to be in this place. They feel welcome. Everybody greets them with a smile and a high five. They obviously get a nice free coffee. But also it's a place where they can experience the presence of God through worship. They can just experience, there's a worship experience where people are just, you allow yourself to be carried away in through your emotions of just confessing the love that you have for the Lord, but also for the manifestation of the presence of God, which is, of course, perhaps somebody praying for you, people being saved, people receiving healing in their lives. That's the church that we want. We're not wanting a church that is dead, where nothing happens. We want a church where things are happening, where God is coming and intervening in our what? In our lives. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit is a secret weapon. I recall a time when I was at, and the Holy Spirit knows things that we don't. Last week we spoke of just praying and not knowing what we were praying for. You felt unsettled, you know, like we felt unsettled, but we just began to pray. And then only to find out the next day that somebody had attempted to commit suicide. Now, I did say it. Were those two things connected? Who knows? But the thing is that I was better off praying than not praying. I don't want to be the other side where I don't pray and then something does happen. Because now when something does happen, I'll be like, oh no, if only I had prayed. But the good thing is that God is very faithful. You know, God can protect us even though we haven't prayed. Do we understand that? Yeah. God can absolutely do that. But sometimes God wants us to partner with him. He's going to come and he's going to whisper in your life, do this and do that. Are you willing to partner with what God wants to do? Because you are part of the solution that God has in this world. Amen? So God knows us. The Holy Spirit knows things we don't know. God is intimately involved and interested in our lives. So there's a time I was at the University of Wollongong in New South Wales at the University College. In fact, I was at the university and I was lecturing in economics. Now, I was doing a Master of Applied Economics, which I dropped out of because it was too difficult. But there was a, I'm tutoring in economics. But the problem with that job was that every term you had to go and keep asking for more and more hours. So the semester was probably 13 weeks. So after the 13 weeks, you don't have a job. Each time uni closes, you've got no job. And then you've got to ask for more hours. You've got to go to the lecturers and say, can I please have more hours to teach and all of that? And so then they would give you some hours. And I was getting really tired of just this, not knowing the end of each term, not knowing, okay, are we going to have money? Because at that time, I ended up doing a bit of gardening work, which I absolutely hated. But I had to do what I had to do because at that I had a child coming. And I remember a youth pastor, I tried to be a bit, he said, look, your child is coming, you got to do what you have to do. And so I would be picking weeds in people's gardens. That wasn't a pleasant experience. But it's what I had to do. And so I'm sitting in the tutor's room, and then a thought came, like a whisper. You know, like when you are just minding your own business, you're caught up in your own world, and then you hear your phone go, ding, a message just came through from somebody. That's what it felt like. I'm not saying it's just a message, a thought came into my mind about call so-and-so. Now, so-and-so was somebody's name. Call so-and-so and ask if they have got a job available. And so I thought about it for a while, and I thought, oh, that's a bit weird. Should I really call that person? And I ummed and ahed, oh, should I call? Should I not call? Should I call? Eventually, I picked up the phone. I said, look, what do I have to lose? And I called. And I said to the gentleman, I said, look, I was just checking to see if you guys have got a job. Is there a job, any employment going? And he said, leave it with me. Within 2 days, I went in for an interview, and I got a job at the Wollongong University College, where I was now lecturing myself, a class of students in economics and accounting. So that was very good. Imagine had I not listened to that, just that whisper. And I don't know, has anybody ever experienced just being woken up at some time in the morning? You just wake up and you just think, oh, this is a bit odd. And then you go back to sleep. And then maybe you wake up again and you think, oh, what's really going on? Sometimes it could be the Holy Spirit onto something in your life. There are times where you don't even know what you want to pray. But somehow you just, for no reason, you just start praying for somebody. There's just a thought that comes into your heart to pray for so-and-so, and then you just begin to pray for them. That is the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. It could be your situation, that there is something that is just bubbling on the inside of your spirit, and all of a sudden you just wake up, or it could be just during your normal course of the day, you begin to just to profess things over your life that you never thought you would be professing. I'm professing provision and protection. Lord, that you would watch over me, you would watch over my family. You just start professing stuff. And it's the Holy Spirit that's coming alongside us. I was listening to a message by Marcus Lamb on Daystar probably 2 months ago, and it stopped me in my track. And I just was sitting at my friend's place, and he was talking about a family that had come to a church. And this family had come, and their attendance was a bit, you know, they would come. They were just new to the church. They're new to the area. But then it says that for after a certain, is Alta available? Can I get some keys or some guitar, thanks? After a while, this family just disappeared for about a month. You know, they just stopped coming. And then eventually the phone call came to the church and said, could you please send one of your pastors? Our child is in a coma in hospital. And so maybe that's why they couldn't come. And they were saying, could you do what? Could you please send somebody to come and pray? And so they sent a pastor there. So the pastor goes and begins. Now he gets there and he finds this young girl. She's just hooked up with tubes everywhere. And he started to ask himself, oh, what do I pray? You know, like she's in a coma. What do I pray? And then all of a sudden, this pastor begins to start praying in tongues. Remember earlier it says that in Acts chapter 2, verses 4 to 8, it talks about they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. And so they were there praying. This guy was there praying over this young girl. And then eventually, he leaves. For him, nothing happened. So he must have prayed, and then he felt like, okay, I'll pray no more. And so he leaves and he walks out. The family of the girl walk in, and this girl comes out of consciousness, comes out of that coma. And as she comes out of the coma, she says, there was somebody praying for me. And so the parents said, no, we didn't see anybody. And she said, this person who was praying has prayed in fluent German. Was praying, speaking in tongues, but it was fluent German. And she understood it all because they were from Germany. So they had German heritage. So she said, this man was praying in German. All I'm saying is that from that when we don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit is our secret weapon. Are we going to rely on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives? You know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power. Now, in the Greek, that word power means dunamis. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Greek word dunamis is used 120 times in the New Testament. This refers to strength, power, or ability. And it is the root word of our English words, dynamo, dynamic, and dynamite. That's where the dunamis comes from. I wonder, because perhaps, and I know back in the day, people used to do a lot of street ministry, evangelizing on the street, dishing out pamphlets, but now that doesn't happen anymore because we've all retreated to the safety of the churches. Of course, because perhaps people don't do that. You can't talk to people about the Lord at the shops or whatever. And so now we've retreated back to the churches. And perhaps, maybe we forgot about the power that is available to us through the Holy Spirit. That there is this power that's available to you and I through the Spirit of God. And so this word dunamis refers to inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature or which a person or thing exerts. And so we know that Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of God. And the scripture says that the same power that lived in Jesus is now residing on the inside of us. The question is, are we walking in step with the Holy Spirit in our lives? Are we doing life by ourselves in our own strength? And you know, sometimes because we're all learned people, we've learned, we've gone to school, we've done accounting, we've done mathematics, we've done building, we've done trades, it's quite easy for us to sort of like become very technical people. and say, I know how to do this. So I do not need the Holy Spirit to help me out. I don't need God to help me out. I went to TAFE. I went to university and I've studied this. I know it all. But I think it's equally important that sometimes, you see, this technical knowledge that we have can actually teaches us or becomes a blockage for us to work or partner with the Holy Spirit, because we're so reliant on ourselves. If you are going to flow in the power of the Holy Spirit, there needs to be a dependence. We need to depend on Him, because that means the more we depend on Him, the more we allow of Him to move and flow through our lives. And as Christians, we do not live in our own power, but in God's power. Everything starts and stops. Our victory, our safety is in Jesus, and we're able to do things through what Jesus has done for us. It is His strength that makes us become overcomers in our lives. And so with everybody standing this morning as we finish up, I just have two scriptures. The first one, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 18 says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a continuous thing. If I drink a nice bottle of red wine, I'll have one glass, two, and three, and four. It's a very wonderful night. You know, we're having fun. And then I might drink two bottles of red wine. After a while, what I drink begins to control me. And so all of a sudden, my speech maybe might become slurred. All of a sudden, my walk becomes a bit slurred, because now I am controlled by the substance that I have taken in. And this is why Paul is saying, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that tells me that this is a continuous thing we want to do, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because we are ceding control of our lives to the Holy Spirit. We are partnering with Him in what He wants to do in our lives and what He wants to do through our lives. And Luke 11 verse 9 to 13 says, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now maybe we are not, the children that we have these days are not asking for fish. They're asking for Nikes. They're asking for Apple phones, watches. Now when they ask for that, do we give them a brick instead? No, we give them the things. They ask for something, we give them that. And this is what the Lord is saying, that if you ask, He will give us the Holy Spirit.